When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Star Wars Legends Lounge, the show that celebrates the books from Star Wars Legends. I'm Aaron Motes. On today's episode, we travel back to the Clone Wars, while Anakin Skywalker enjoys a little R&R on Coruscant with his wife. Rex and Ahsoka tag along with Captain Pelion on a training mission. But when an undercover Republic agent needs help, they join a group of rogue Jedi on a rescue mission. Will they save the undercover agent and learn something new about Jedi philosophy? We'll find out in The Clone Wars, No Prisoners by Karen Travis. But before we get to the story, let's take a couple listener questions. Today's first email comes from Waylon Jester, who's a frequent emailer to the show. Waylon has sent in a few emails recently, so I'm going to combine them all here. Waylon says, if you were in the Star Wars universe, what blaster would you have, and what color bolts would it shoot? What type of lightsaber would you have, if you could not have a single bladed lightsaber, and what color would it be? Well, as far as blasters, I like the DC-15, like the clones use in the prequels and the Clone Wars. I guess it would just shoot the light blue color bolts that it does. And if I can't have a single-bladed lightsaber, I guess I'd have a double-bladed one like Maul's. My favorite lightsaber colors are green or yellow. Waylon continues, what do you think about the voice actress of Hera Syndulla playing live-action Mara Jade? What do you think that will do to canon? I think it's going to rewrite canon and make the sequels farther back. Well, what Waylon is talking about is the voice actress of Hera Syndulla, Vanessa Marshall, talking at a fan expo in San Francisco, where she said that a lot of the voice actors from Rebels would like to be in live-action Star Wars, but so far, they haven't really gotten the chance. What I will say is, I love the fact that Vanessa Marshall loves the character of Mara Jade. Personally, I don't think Mara Jade is ever coming into canon. And if she does, I think it's probably just going to be a very minor part of a story in like a book or a comic book. I don't think it will ever be on the screen. So I don't think it's really going to do much. Thank you very much for the email, Waylon. Today's second email comes from Andris in Australia. Andris says, my question is around the rule of two. I always thought that Bane instituted the rule of two. However, as I was listening to your podcast, you said he found Revan's holocron, and in the holocron, learned about the master-apprentice relationship. So, did Bane simply reinstate the rule of two, or did he instigate it? What are your thoughts? Well, thank you very much for the email, Andris. I wanted to get this right, so I took a trip over to Wikipedia. When they talk about Revan's holocron, it's stated that a Sith master should only train one apprentice, that taking multiple apprentices would lead a group of apprentices who were inevitably weaker than the master to overwhelm the master and destroy them, thus weakening the Sith overall. Revan's holocron also said that there should only be one Dark Lord of the Sith. So, you could say that Revan theorized about a system like the Rule of Two, but there is no evidence that he ever put it into practice. What we do know is that when Bane listened to Revan's holocron, He developed a system where only one Dark Lord of the Sith took an apprentice, one that would eventually challenge the Dark Lord to be the ultimate power in the dark side of the Force. Andris has another question. How come there are so many different stories for the stealing of the Death Star plans? In the films, we know it's a Bothan team that obtains the plans. But in the 90s, the Kyle Katarn books come around in Dark Forces and say something different. Then Rogue One tells something different. And two, on a personal note, is there a reason why you've not gotten into the Star Wars role-playing game, or other games for that matter? Well, Andres, to answer your first question there, I think there's just a little bit of confusion over who stole which plans. The Bothan team stole the plans to the second Death Star, not the first. The Kyle Katarn books and the Dark Forces video game in the 90s say that Kyle Katarn stole the plans. However, you got to remember, this is Legends. The only thing we knew about who stole the original Death Star plans was what was in the crawl of A New Hope, where it says a small group of rebels stole the plans. But again, the Kyle Katarn books, the Dark Forces books, they're Legends. They're not canon. So Rogue One is the canon story of who stole the Death Star plans. The canon story of who stole the second Death Star plans is the team of Bothans. And to answer your second question about why I've never gotten into role-playing games or other games for that matter, it's just not for me. You know, people like different things. When I was a little kid, I never really wanted to play pretend. You know, I had some action figures. I had some Star Wars action figures, some G.I. Joes, some Transformers. I never really played with them a lot. With my two brothers, I'm the oldest. I have two younger brothers. But for me, and especially my one brother, we never really played with that kind of stuff. We were always outside playing sports. We would play wiffle ball in the backyard, or we'd play tag, or we would ride bikes. We didn't like being inside. Now, my youngest brother, he played a little bit with action figures and stuff, especially Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He liked coming up with stories. He liked developing adventures for his figures. I think that a lot of times is what kind of prepares people for playing role-playing games. Now look, I have tried playing a few role-playing games. I tried Dungeons & Dragons 3 or 4 times. I even tried the Star Wars role-playing game twice. It's just not for me. I don't like make-believing that I'm somebody else. It's just not for me. So, but if you like them, great. Well, thank you very much for the email, Andres. Now, listener, if you have a question for the show, like Waylon and Andres, you can email me at swlegendslounge@gmail.com or send me a tweet at legendslounge1. And if you'd like to get your voice on the show, just record a short message and email it in. Just please remember, record it in MP3 audio format. And listener, coming up at the end of the show, we'll hear from Waylon and Andres again, because they've sent in some unpopular Star Wars opinions for me to read. You want to stick around for that. But for now, it's time for today's book, The Clone Wars, No Prisoners, by Karen Travis. Grab yourself a drink, and let's head in to the Star Wars Legends Lounge. The story begins on the planet Janfathal. Republic spy Helena Devis is undercover, trying to infiltrate a rebel cell. Janfathal is a part of the Republic, but it's governed by a fascist dictator, the Regent. Many of the people want to join the Separatist Alliance and overthrow the planetary government. Republic Intelligence Director Armand Isard says he understands the public sentiment, but the planet is too important to lose to the Separatists. He orders Helena to infiltrate a rebel cell in the capital city, Athar. Helena goes undercover as a janitor in a factory. Eventually, she finds two members of the cell who take her to a tap calf and a meeting with the cell's leader. As the four of them talk, Helena notices traffic increasing outside, and everyone in the tap calf is holding a weapon. Helena asks what's happening when the power suddenly goes out. "Revolution," one of them whispers. On Coruscant, Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala enjoy some time together. Padme is a bit leery that Anakin is taking time away from the Grand Army of the Republic to hide out in her capital apartment. Anakin tells her not to worry. It's only for a couple of days, and there's a lull in the fighting right now. Plus, they never get to spend any time together anymore. Padme asks if Captain Rex or Ahsoka Tano have any suspicions about the relationship. Anakin concedes that Rex probably knows they're together, but he's a good soldier. He's loyal. And there's no way Ahsoka knows about them. Anakin's words reassure Padme, but she's still concerned about the Jedi. "Won't they be upset that you're not with your troops?" Padme asks. "Don't worry," Anakin says. "It's just a shakedown cruise of a ship coming out of a repair dock. Rex and Ahsoka can handle it." Captain Jalad Pelion stands at the helm of the Republic battlecruiser Leveler, and things are not going well. The systems aren't working correctly. Navigation, propulsion, communications, weapons, all of them are just a little bit wonky. Pelion's crew and a group of civilian defense contractors try their best to correct the issues, but the captain is frustrated and a little embarrassed. Pelion, Rex, and Ahsoka tour the ship and offer any support they can, but the work is slow. They head back to the bridge when suddenly they get an alert. A Separatist flotilla has emerged from hyperspace in the nearby Thoth system. Pelion orders observation droids to the system while Rex heads to the barracks to talk to his troops, a group of clones fresh from Kamino and on their first assignment, and apprises them of the situation. Back on Jon Fatal, Helena goes with the flow of the revolution, fighting against loyalist forces. During the battle, her cover is blown, and she's taken prisoner by the rebel cell. They torture her, demanding to know what she's told the Jan Fatal regent. After a while, Helena says she doesn't work for the regent. She's an agent for the Republic. The cell decides to hold her as a hostage. During the interrogation, Helena manages to transmit a distress signal, cutting through the communication blackout. Of course, the closest ship to Jan Fatal is the Leveler. Republic Intelligence orders Pelion to head to the Thoth system and assess the situation. Pelion is eager to go, but he's conflicted. This is personal for him, because he and Helena have been in a relationship for years. Pelion reveals his secret to Rex, Ahsoka, and the ship's crew. While Ahsoka expresses some concern that Pelion's decision-making ability might be compromised, the crew of the Leveler stand firmly behind their captain. As they prepare to jump to Jan Fatal, a transport arrives in the system. "They're Jedi!" Ahsoka exclaims. It is, in fact, a group of Jedi, but not ones aligned with the Jedi Council. It turns out the group is led by the maverick Jedi Master, Jyn Altus. Altus leads a group that allows students to engage in romantic relationships. Altus also takes in older Force-sensitive individuals to train them. And two of them, Callista Masana and Gaith Eris, make Ahsoka very uncomfortable. Why? Because they're engaged to be married. Rex and Ahsoka lead the new clones down to the planet to locate Helena, joined by Master Altus, Callista, and Gaith. They use the chaos of the battle between the revolutionaries, with the help of separatist droids, and the forces loyal to the regent. The group locates the building Helena is being held in. Rex doesn't see how they can storm the building and rescue Helena before her captors figure out what's happening and kill the agent. Master Altus suggests a bit of subterfuge. He picks up Ahsoka and tells her to act like she's unconscious. Then, Altus pretends to be an old man, looking for someone to help his injured granddaughter. The ruse works long enough for Altus and Ahsoka to get into the office where Helena is being held. That allows Rex and his squad to sneak in behind them. Just when the captors figure out something isn't quite right, the clones storm the office. A short blaster fight ensues. When the smoke clears, the three captors are dead, and Helena is freed. But it's not all gravy. One of the clones, a shiny named Veer, is also killed. The group makes its way back to their shuttle and heads back up to the leveler. But the Separatists spot the Republic ship and send four battlecruisers to intercept. When Pelion realizes the leveler will be cut off, he orders the ship to jump out of the system. Knowing that they won't make it past the blockade, Rex orders the shuttle back to the surface. They land to find the fighting is over. The droid army has won. The Separatists now control Janfathal. Back on Coruscant, Anakin is awakened by a call from Rex. The clone captain briefs Anakin on everything that's happened. The rescue mission, the fighting on Janfathal, and being stranded on the planet. Anakin immediately says goodbye to his wife, jumps into his fighter, and heads off to the Foth system. Meanwhile, Leveler is lost, and Pelion is not happy about it. His plan was to jump to the outskirts of the Foth system, then reorient the ship and jump back to the far side of Janfathal to meet up with Rex's shuttle. But the glitches in the navigation system caused the ship to jump somewhere else. Where? Nobody knows. And now they have to figure out and calculate a jump back to Janfathal, all of it manually. Rex's group continues moving through the capital, trying to avoid any battle droids while they await rescue. That gives Ahsoka time to talk to Callista. When the Padawan asks why the Altesian Jedi don't follow the Council's rules, Callista says they believe it's possible to form romantic and family attachments without becoming possessive. When it's time to let a loved one go, they do. Ahsoka isn't convinced. These views conflict with everything the Jedi Order teaches. Anakin arrives at Janfathal and runs the blockade, making his way down to the planet. He finds Rex's squad and the Jedi, and, like Ahsoka, he's astonished by what he sees from the Altesians. Open romantic relationships? Marriages? Families? Altus even accepts non-Force-sensitive students. It's the exact opposite of everything Anakin was taught by Obi-Wan and Yoda. When Anakin speaks with Altus, the Jedi Master can sense that Anakin loves someone. Altus asks Anakin if he's happy following the Order's rules and leading troops. Altus says that Anakin is welcome to join his students. He can help Anakin understand his feelings and help him live the life he wants. Just then, Leveler arrives back in the system. Anakin calms the ship, telling Pelion to be ready. They're going to steal a Separatist shuttle and head up to the cruiser. The group rushes one of the landing zones, blasting droid sentries left and right. They make their way to one of the shuttles, but not before another one of the new clones, Ints, is shot in the leg. Helena sees how badly Ince is bleeding and stuffs her fists into the wound, trying to slow the loss of blood. Anakin pilots the shuttle up into orbit and docks with Leveler. before the ship can flee, they take heavy fire from the Separatists. The cruiser fires back with lasers, but the computer glitches won't allow its concussion missiles to aim properly. Callista offers help. She has a unique force ability. She can sense how machines work. Allowing the force to flow through her, Callista dives deep into the targeting computer. She takes control of the concussion missiles, flying them straight into the Separatist battlecruisers. The Separatists back off, trying to avoid additional damage. It allows Leveler to escape. After the battle, Anakin talks to Altus again. The Jedi Master tells Anakin he was friends with another Jedi who didn't agree with many of the Council's teachings, Qui-Gon Jinn. Again, Altus tells Anakin that he's welcome to join his sect, but Anakin decides to stay. He's a general in the Grand Army of the Republic. He's loyal to the Jedi Order, his Padawan, and his clone troops. The story ends with Helena breaking off her relationship with Pelion. She still loves him, but she can't keep working for Republic intelligence, especially when the Republic won't listen to the people they're neglecting, like those on Janfathal, the people choosing to join the Separatists. Maybe one day they can be together, Helena says, but right now she needs time to figure things out. Pelion says he understands, and the two share one last kiss before Helena leaves. She joins the Altesian Jedi on their shuttle, and they jump away to hyperspace. Time to take a break. When we return, I'll talk more about the Clone Wars, no prisoners. I'm Aaron Motes. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Star Wars Legends Lounge. Thank you for listening to the Star Wars Legends Lounge, where we celebrate the books from Star Wars Legends. But let me take a moment and recommend a book from Star Wars canon. Padawan is the story of young Obi-Wan Kenobi's first solo mission. Determined to win the approval of his master, Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan tries to help a group of young people on a strange, dangerous planet. Can Obi-Wan save the teens before the planet destroys them? Find out in Padawan by Kirsten White. Welcome back to the Star Wars Legends Lounge, the show that celebrates the books from Star Wars Legends. I'm Aaron Motes, and today I'm talking about The Clone Wars, No Prisoners, by Karen Travis. First off, let me apologize for the way my voice sounds. I've caught a little bit of a cold, a little bit under the weather, but I feel much better than I did a couple days ago, so I figured I'd go ahead and record this episode. That way, there's no delay in my release schedule for this year. This was the first time that I had ever read this book. This was one of the few books left that I had never read before. I went into it completely blind. I had not heard anything about The Clone Wars, No Prisoners. My biggest surprise, as someone who's been a fan of Legends since the early 90s, was the inclusion of Callista. Amazing. I was blown away. This was by far and away my favorite story featuring Callista. For those of you who have read the original three Legend stories that feature Callista, Children of the Jedi, Darksaber, and Planet of Twilight, you'll know that they are not the most well-received books in Legends. They're pretty weird. I think the first book, Children of the Jedi by Barbara Hambly, in my opinion, is the most well-written book. It drags in places, it's a little boring in places, but Hambly really is a very good writer. I'm not a fan of Darksaber, the middle book of those three, and I actually think Planet of Twilight is a little better than most people who have read the book say, but overall, I have to admit, it's not that great of a story. So, I'm one of these people that when you talk about Callista, the thing that I remember is the stories that feature her are just not very good. So when I saw her name pop up in this book, first off, I had to look up and see if this was the same Callista. And of course it was. It doesn't match up great with the first three books on the timeline, but of course that's because those books were published in the middle to late 90s, when all the authors at the time presumed that the Clone Wars occurred roughly 20 to 30 years earlier than what we eventually learned. However, as far as characterizations go, I think it matches up really well with the Callista that we are introduced to in Children of the Jedi. I think this story makes her character much more intriguing, and we'll see if maybe it affects my opinion of the three original Callista books, because I'm doing those stories at the end of this year. The philosophical debates that she and Ahsoka have, as well as the discussions between Anakin and Master Altus, are the most interesting parts of this story. The discussions Anakin and Altus have are the ones I believe most fans wish Anakin was able to have with other members of the Jedi Order, specifically Obi-Wan Kenobi. Maybe if the Jedi Order was able to help Anakin understand what he was feeling, to understand that his views of love and attachment were unhealthy, maybe they could have prevented Anakin's fall to the dark side. And if they could have done that, maybe they could have prevented the Republic from falling to Palpatine. It also foreshadows many of the conversations that Callista will eventually have with Anakin's son, Luke Skywalker, specifically in Children of the Jedi. I'm not going to spoil anything about that book here for those who have not read it, other than to say that Callista is in Children of the Jedi, Darksaber, and Planet of Twilight. I didn't believe that I would ever be happy to see that character again. Because even though I didn't think the character was bad, I associated the character with those three books that weren't very good. I was wrong. As soon as her name popped up on the page, I got excited. I was like, this is amazing. In some ways, I think this story helps to enhance Callista's character, much like the Clone Wars animated show enhances the prequel trilogy for many fans. There's not many books that I haven't read in Legends. There is one other prequel era book that I haven't read, and then the rest of them are scattered later in the timeline post Return of the Jedi. We'll have to see if the other prequel era book features Callista or the Altesian Jedi, because Master Altus's philosophy is an interesting one. I would argue that his philosophy comes the closest that maybe George Lucas would say is a healthy level of attachment for a Jedi. I think it's an interesting debate to have. I'm glad Karen Travis wrote those debates in this story. Elsewhere, of course, you listeners know I'm a huge fan of the clones. It's always great to see a story with Rex in it again. I enjoyed these new clones, even though they are in the book very little. You do get some of their names. It was sad when Veer died. It was sad when Ince, who suffers the leg wound, they're able to rush him back to Leveler, but he simply had lost too much blood, and by the time they got him into the medical bay, he passed away as well. So it was sad when both of those clones died, but I think this book is a great way to whet your appetite for more clone stories, which is exactly what we're going to be doing here on the podcast, because, as you know, going forward, here over the next few weeks, we're going to be getting into the Republic Commando series. So any story about the clones, in my opinion, is well worth your time. Aside from the inclusion of Callista and the philosophical debates between what the Altesian Jedi believe and the Jedi Order as a whole believe, there's really nothing earth-shattering, in my opinion, in this book. Yeah, it's nice to see Pelion again. It's interesting to see Pelion's relationship with Helena, especially coming off the new Jedi Order series that I covered with my guests last year, because we learn at one point in time Pelion's son sacrifices himself to save Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon. Helena is the mother of Pelion's child. So that was a nice little callback as well. But really, there's nothing earth-shattering in this book. It's just a quick, fun Clone Wars story that does ask some big questions as to whether or not the Jedi Order should have asked Anakin some of the questions that Master Altus asks in this book. And if the Jedi did, could that have saved the galaxy from roughly 20 years of darkness? Maybe, maybe not. Well, it's almost time to go. But first, I've started receiving more of your unpopular Star Wars opinions that you guys want me to read. Since Waylon and Andres included one each on the emails that they sent in their questions, I figured I'd go ahead and read theirs today. Waylon's unpopular opinion is, "The Revenge of the Sith is boring. It has no specific storyline, and the Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi fight was horrendous. It was just the same strikes over and over again. The fight scene was also way too long, in my opinion." So, Waylon is not a fan of Revenge of the Sith, which is the opposite of Andres' unpopular opinion. Andres says, "I was disappointed to learn that you, like many others, do not like the prequels. I've yet to meet someone who likes them. Why does everyone despise them so much? Personally, I prefer them to the original trilogy. I think they're wonderful. Perhaps it's because Episode 1 is what got me into Star Wars. The main reason why I like them is that this is the heyday of the Jedi. They're at their prime. The galaxy is not a depressing, oppressed place. The Jedi are numerous. Tech is well-maintained and developing. I am so passionate about this time in galactic history. This is why my absolute favorite period is the Old Republic." Well, thank you again for the emails, Waylon and Andres. I've decided for these unpopular opinions, I'm not going to give my opinion at all, unless someone specifically asks me. I figure this is a way for the listeners to get their opinions out there. Now, Andres does ask for my opinion. He did ask why I don't like the prequels. I'm not going to go into a long explanation because this forum is for the listener. However, I will say, Andres, one reason you give as to why you really like the prequel era is that for you, this is the heyday of the Jedi. They're at their prime. In my point of view, it's the exact opposite. They are not at their prime. But again, thank you very much for the email. Now, listener, even if you believe your opinions are unpopular, let me tell you, just like anything in life, some things in Star Wars will resonate with you and others won't. Everyone likes the saga in their own way. So just because your opinion may be unpopular doesn't mean it's the wrong opinion. If it feels right to you, then it is. Now, listener, it's time to wrap up. If you have a question or comment for the show, email me at swlegendslounge@gmail.com or send me a tweet at legendslounge1. And remember, send me in your Star Wars character groupings, or your Mount Rushmores, your mixtapes, your unpopular opinions. Send them all in. I love reading all the stuff you listeners come up with. And again, if you got a really cool Star Wars gift over the holidays, let me know. And email me some pictures. I want to see them. Now, coming up on the next episode, I'll be diving deeper into the Clone Wars era of Legends. It's Republic Commando Hard Contact by Karen Travis. You can look forward to that episode coming up on February 9th. And don't forget to check out my special roundtable episode with Kat, Jay, Matt, K2, and Scott as we recently wrapped up our coverage of the New Jedi Order series. It was really fun. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Star Wars Legends Lounge. I'm Aaron Motes. May the Force be with you. And remember, there's always a bit of truth in Legends.